Hello, everybody. Mark Carlson here, SNEA Technical Council Co-Chair. Welcome to the STC Podcast. Every week, the STC Podcast presents important technical topics to the storage developer community. Each episode is hand-selected by the SNEA Technical Council from the presentations at our annual Storage Developer Conference. The link to the slides is available in the show notes at snea.org/podcasts. You are listening to STC Podcast, Episode 73.
I'm Yang Seok-ki from Samsung, especially from the San Jose office. We have an R&D center at San Jose office. So this work is actually global collaboration across Korea and U.S., and today I'm going to introduce our experience to you about the key value SSD. The main purpose of this talk is not to show off what we have done. Rather, we shared our learning from this experience and invite industry to work together and move forward together. That is the main reason. So, some data is quite recent, and we are still working on to implement feature or to evaluate the performance and feature from different angles. So during this presentation, you can interrupt me anytime and ask questions. I can share the information as much as I can, as long as it does not break my confidentiality. Okay. So in this talk, it's quite short compared to the FMS. So I actually the collapsed many slides into small number of slides. But I'm gonna go over why we start this work and what is the concept of key value SSD and what kind of ecosystem we need to enable this kind of technology, and what we are working on from standard perspective. Bill Martin is sitting over there, so that he can explain more, but I will cover as far as I know, and he can fill in the more details about the most recent progress. And I'm going to share some experiment about this device from the system perspective. So we actually build a real system and plug in this prototype into the system and evaluate from different angles. So let me start with the background briefly. So this is quite well known. So this is a lot of data is generated from different devices, like and the application, the mobile devices and the PC. Users are connected to the internet and cloud and keep generating data. So, for example, on Netflix, within one year, the traffic amount is 1.5x increase. And across different type of application, a lot of data is generated and increased dramatically. So it's quite popular graph as well, but I put a little bit different name here. So around 2005, the cloud concept was introduced by Amazon. The EC2 was first come up, and the virtualization technology. Okay. So I hold on this mic. So that's better, right? Yeah. So around 2005, cloud concept was introduced, and after that, iPhone was introduced in the mobile device, quite popular. Since then, the data is generated a lot from mobile devices, and also in the cloud, the infrastructure itself generates a lot of data. So to me, sort of the new era started around that time. So I can say before cloud and after 2000 is sort of the era of the data. So I would say the era data. So this is a new
BC AD for IT technology. So one of the interesting thing is, since the cloud was introduced, a lot of unstructured data was generated. So unstructured data is contrast to the traditional relational database data. Right? So the video file, the photo file, and the unstructured document, a structured document, a semi-structured document like a JSON file, and the VM image, the compressed file, a lot of data actually generated these days. So then what is the problem here? So the data we are handling is already object. So in the form of file, but people actually perceive data as an object. But how data is actually stored, we are still relying on the block storage, meaning that even though you store some concept of data, but when data is stored, you have to split into fixed size of chunk and distribute the chunk across physical devices. But can you store such data directly to the device? That is the starting point of our thought. Right? Is it this concept new? Not at all. Right? So we heard about the OSD more than 10 years ago, and the OSD was proposed to actually solve this kind of the problem, especially to solve the metadata handling problem. But due to the complexity of implementation, OSD actually didn't take off. But to store the object into device, there are, I think, two different ways. We can actually rely on the traditional OSD model. Traditional OSD model consists of three components mainly. To identify object, you need to specify ID, and you can associate attribute to the object, such as, for example, if you store a photo, you can specify where did I take this photo, or when did I take this photo, with whom. So such data is not directly related to your photo, but it's associated with the photo, and specify more information about your data. And the actual data is user data. So typically, OSD in OSD concept, an object can associate with three components. But there's another way to store that is, okay, why don't you just integrate attribute into identifier? So that is the key, right? So in the key value concept, you can specify identity of object using key, and store actual data using value. The key can be simple but much powerful, right? So instead of having three different components, you can encode much more information about your data into key. So by just handling key, the upper layer application can differentiate or identify object from key. So for example, I use the photo example, right? So you can specify where the place you take photo or time you take photo. You can actually encode that information into key instead of store that information as separate metadata. So then why we just choose key value path, not the OSD path? Because when I actually survey the data center infrastructure, a lot of systems actually relying on key value abstraction. So this is not a comprehensive list of application or domain, but there's some snapshot of the application which rely on key value abstraction. But quite different the application actually using key value abstraction. So the most popular one is cache, right? Redis is in-memory object cache, which use key-value abstraction. It's mostly for the DRAM, but also can be extended for storage as well. And the storage side, Ceph is quite popular, and at the bottom of Ceph layer, it actually relies on RocksDB abstraction. Even though they introduced Blue Storage, essentially it relies on the RocksDB abstraction, which basically provides key value abstraction. The NetApp case, a solid file system, when you see the solid file scale out storage system, it at the bottom layer of the stack basically key value to provide more efficient deduplication and compression. And the large scale, hyperscale data center like Amazon Azure, when you see the Azure storage architecture, basically, it's a very huge key value store at the bottom. And in the database side, the MongoDB is the NoSQL one of NoSQL database, and it provides distributed the NoSQL document store. But at the bottom, an interesting of the MongoDB has a storage layer, then you can plug in different type of storage into this infrastructure. But at the bottom of this, the MongoDB stack, it basically has a key value abstraction. You can plug in a WireTiger, you can plug in the RocksDB. The different type can be plugged into the system. And another interesting is the Facebook actually introduced the MyRocks. MySQL is basically a relational database, but they want to replace the InnoDB with the RocksDB to reduce the space the user database actually consumes. They reduce, I don't remember the exact number, around 50% of user database space by replacing InnoDB with the RocksDB. And recently, the Cafe 2 basically replaced their storage model from the NFS to the key value like LevelDB and the Redispace. And a lot of the service provider like Airbnb, Rakuten, they build object store, but at the bottom of their stack, they're using key value abstraction. So key value quite popular in the data center. Can you help them? So then what is the problem they have right now? So all the application basically interact with the storage system through object abstraction. But the bottom of the stack, that hardware, just provide the block interface. So there is a gap between what hardware can provide and what application actually wants. So to bridge the gap, many systems actually using software-based key value store. The most popular one is the RocksDB. RocksDB is a branch of LevelDB. LevelDB was introduced by Google, and the RocksDB is introduced by the Facebook. And another popular one is WireTiger. WireTiger is acquired by MongoDB, and that is the base storage backend for MongoDB. But WireTiger also used by Amazon as well, Amazon DynamoDB as well. So there are several popular key value store, and that key value store's main job is to translate the upper layer object abstraction to the block, the abstraction at the bottom. So basic idea of the key value SSD is take the common functionality from software key value store into device. And I will explain why this approach makes sense and then later. You may think, well, what if you just move a certain component into the device, you may have more penalty because computing capability of host is much better than device. Why would you want to move certain component into the device? I will explain why this approach makes sense later. But the very simply put, let's get rid of that layer and put into the device. But I need to be more specific about this statement because it does not mean we get rid of the stack completely, but we can actually reduce the overhead the existing key value store, software key value store has. So by doing that, we can improve the overall throughput
of system and also reduce the overhead existing key value store has like a write amplification problem and read amplification problem over throughput, the low throughput problem.
So to realize this concept, we prototype a key value SSD concept using the new Samsung device. So in the last month, we introduced into the market a new small form factor SSD. At the bottom, this is traditional the M.2 form factor SSD. And the new form factor is called next generation small form factor SSD. It's long mouthful. But there is a reason we use different name. But anyway, so it is same length of the M.2, traditional M.2, but it's a little bit wider than the M.2. So you can actually put the NAND chip in the both sides. And you can put two rows like this.
We also have prototype for U.2 form factor as well. And in terms of capacity, can be 1 to 16 terabyte, but we prototype the key value concept using the 1 terabyte device.
So this is sort of the summary of the benefit, but I will cover the one by one in the later slide. But basically, initial goal was to provide better performance from the system perspective and provide better capability. And also, depending on the system, you can actually use more disk space from system by leveraging key value SSD compared to the block. The point is the main focus of key value SSD is to provide benefit from the system perspective, not the device directly. So if you want to compare block device performance and key value device performance directly, obviously key value SSD may be slower than the block device for now because there are several reasons. We haven't had standard yet, so we cannot automate the operation efficiently. And as you can see, I will explain a little bit more later, but key value SSD is more complex than the block SSD. So it will have more overhead from the device perspective, so it's going to be slower. But from system level perspective, you can get much more benefit by using this kind of device. So the first one is when you build a system storage system, the key value SSD can provide better scalability than the block device. I will show some data about this, what this means. So basically, you can add more devices into the box. Key value SSD basically provides linear scalability in terms of capacity and the performance. So if you add more, a traditional block, you can add more device to increase capacity, but performance does not grow when you provide a kind of object interface to the user. I will explain why that happened. And by doing that, what is the benefit to the user? Actually, key value SSD, you need just one core to saturate device. But traditional block device, if you want to have a object interface, a key value interface using software key value store, you may need to use multiple cores. So typically when you use RocksDB to saturate one device, you may need 8 or 9 cores. Basically, it consumes more CPU power. Because of that, it's very hard to scale the box, to scale the system by adding more devices because you will hit the CPU saturation point quickly. Doesn't matter how expensive the CPU is. So I will show the result using very expensive CPU, $5,000 per unit, but it is quickly saturate when you try to do implement key value interface using the software based solution. So you can actually reduce number of server by leveraging the key value SSD because it is linear scale that you can provide better capacity and better performance leveraging this. So overall TCO cost will drop down depending on how you calculate it. It can be changed, but it, based on our system, it can reduce around 20% or 30% per rack basis. And by nature of key value, it's quite easily the scale out because you can distribute workload across the node by hashing or the hashing the key across multiple nodes, so the it's quite easy to scale out. So key value SSD within a box, you can adding more devices, performance and the capacity goes up. By adding more server, also easily capacity and the performance goes up. So that is the on-page summary of the main benefit of key value SSD. I will provide more details later. Okay, so you have new device. This good, but you may have concern, right? So there is no ecosystem for that. Then how can you leverage that? So we fully understand that, and it's quite challenging to us because we actually overcome this kind of big obstacle to us. So that's why actually at the beginning of this presentation, this is not to show off something to you. Actually, we want to invite you to work together from different aspects. So I will go one by one. So to enable this kind of technology, we believe three pieces go together. So we should show the benefit by providing a product. So because of the prototype, the concept, in our real product. But okay, you build something, but how can you show the benefit to me? You may ask like that. So we explore several applications, whether those applications can pick up this technology quickly. Then application does not have any infrastructure to pick up this technology. So we actually need to build infrastructure like a device driver, library, or API, or the command set to extend this kind of device. Right? So we should build a core software, a prototype to prove this concept is working. And that's not enough, right? When we talk to customer, they say, well, this is good, but you are the only one. Then we don't want to be locked in, right? So to invite more device vendor, we actually open what we have done, and basically, okay, this is the core requirement for this kind of device, and we want to make a standard and open to the community and invite others can actually contribute. So they're working on standardization in NVMe and also SNIA. So we started a few months ago, and the discussions are ongoing right now. So this should be both together, and if industry see the benefit, then we are open to work with you, and you, depending on your company situation, you can contribute application side, or you can contribute product side, or center side, or the infrastructure side. So we are quite open for that. So let me go quickly one by one. So this is a little bit busy, but in the previous slide I talked about, okay, you have a key value store, we can remove this and move into the device. You can simply say that, but it's really good, then we have to think about whether it's really good or not, and how much you want to move from the software to the hardware. If you want to move entire key value store into device, it's not going to work because it's too heavy. Device does not have that capability. And how much you want to move, right? And what is the core, the feature you want to move. So when you look at the traditional stack, so at the bottom of the stack is you have block device, and you need block device driver. Usually you put the operating system, and you may have volume manager under this, but let's skip that part. And you may put the file system on top of that. And typically, software key value store is running on top of file system. And the application is running on top of this key value, the interface. This is a typical structure. The application can be MongoDB, can be DynamoDB, can be Ceph. And if it's Ceph case, you manage multiple nodes across the cluster, right? But if you just see one node in a cluster, it mostly looks like this. Then what happened here? So let's start from the key value store. Key value store typically manage index to identify object within the key value store. And also do the logging to provide transaction. And what happened in the file system? We have a file mapping, so block mapping. To identify a file, you have to maintain all the block location information. Basically, a file system provides two things. One is to provide the namespace, and the other is to manage the storage. Right? So to manage storage, you need to the mapping information, maintain the mapping information about your file to the devices. And also, file system do the journal. Okay, so sort of the redundant, and they maintain this information for their own purpose. Then what happened in the SSD? SSD also has a mapping to translate the logical block address to the physical block address to provide a transaction efficiently. The SSD maintain the log information. So as you can see, there are a lot of redundant operations across stack, and these actually add more overhead and drop the performance, and also reduce the available user space. But SSD already has this kind of functionality, and we collapse this functionality into the device. Basically, we already have that, so this one can be efficiently implemented in the device. While we are doing that, we can provide a different interface that application actually consume. That is the main idea. But from the user's perspective, you can think, okay, you remove the software key value store, and the device provide this interface directly. But what happened here is actually you collapse the multiple logging, the multiple mapping into the single mapping and the single logging into device. So we try to minimize the capability into device, but that capability should be enough to support application need. But we don't want to cover all application because some of them doesn't need to be implemented device, can be implemented up software stack like a library. So we can cover more application, but what is the core functionality should be pushed down to the device. That was our main focus, and we mostly implement very basic one and extend that one through the standard discussion. So in the previous slide, briefly explained the basic idea and whether it is actually a good idea to move that into the device. And actually, I have many questions. Many people have the information about kinetics and you are building something on top of block inside the device. That is common question. But in the previous slide, what I meant was, okay, you can collapse all the redundant functionality into device. So device itself actually manages differently. Traditional, the SSD has a mapping table and translate LVA to PVA, but we call that as a flash translation layer. And it maintains mapping and also handling the transaction, but we completely rewrite the FTL. So FTL itself is aware of key value abstraction. So we manage NAND differently. So we use different term, index here, instead of mapping table, because index is similar to the host-based key value store. So this guy actually handles key variable size object by itself. So it is not block-based mapping anymore. So new FTL is implemented and provide interface of key value directly from the device. And again, I'm using the term device. What they mean, this is device actually. You cannot work alone. It does not exclude that possibility. In the previous session, we talked about the object storage and whether this device can have Ethernet interface or not, that's completely also a problem. But we actually prefer to have device interface, not the service interface right now. It can evolve, but the reason is that the market is quite different for now. Can be converged, but we are targeting the main storage, not cold storage. So providing high performance and providing enough capacity for that market segment, we need to provide a device interface for now. So that's why we are based on NVMe and this device protocol. We extend the protocol to support key value. We introduce several new commands into the NVMe spec, and through that command, the host can communicate with this device. So currently, it is not standardized, so we are actually using the vendor unique command. So to use this kind of device, we need the very minimum software at the host side. So obviously, this is a device, so you need new device driver. So currently, we have three different types of device driver. So for Linux, well, we extended the community version of Linux NVMe Linux device driver and adding new command into that, and also adding a new feature like asynchronous I/O, because the host can send command to device through iActor for now. But iActor has a problem, right? It is synchronous operation. If you do the synchronous operation, your performance is going to be very bad. So we add it to the libAIO type infrastructure into this new device driver, so you can actually do the asynchronous operation from the application. And we also have a little space device driver. It's mostly SPDK extension, so the working more well, but there are some limitation due to the user level device driver itself. But in terms of functionality, we provide that. And also implemented the Windows device driver, and we plan to open this Windows device driver, actually all of them, but not open yet. But once the standard work progress, we may be able to open. And on top of that, doesn't matter what device driver you're using, what is the feature device should provide eventually? So we
call as a abstract device interface, and this basically provide an abstract device functionality from the host perspective. So it does not need to aware of what is the actual protocol, the command protocol on the line. It provide mostly functionality and semantic of using this device. So the basic functionality, like provide namespace, so how you can actually see the object across multiple devices, and the object itself, and the basic operation like put, get, delete, and the exist. This is actually part of standardization, and it can be extended over discussion. But we try to minimize the number of operations at the beginning. And if we have a consensus, we can extend more and more. So if we have put too many things at the, up front, then the people are going to reject it, right? So we have expected the opposite approach. We put a very minimum set, and do we need to extend that? We can decide after discussing through the standard activities. And on top of that, since we collapse the software stack, that is not always good. We lose something, right? For example, in the file system, it has page cache. Yes. It improves performance a lot, right? But if you talk to the device directly, you lose the caching effect. The caching effect completely. And the kernel stack has a different type of feature like asynchronous I/O. But as I mentioned in the early discussion, Linux driver through the IOctor can be synchronous. So can you overcome that kind of problem? So we actually implement the library to provide better management, especially for user-level device driver. You have to allocate memory from the huge page. So you if you don't use that, then you have to copy and basically negate the benefit of using user-level device driver. So there are several issues actually we have to address. So what is the minimum functionality? At least we can use this device without significant penalty. So through this study, actually, we introduced the memory manager, and this library can manage multiple devices and provide multiple queues. And also have mostly the write back, write through cache to the maintain the status of object consistent. So we implemented the several key feature into this library. We can provide this kind of the infrastructure, but can application actually can pick up this technology? There are different type of integration point, right? So one example is, for example, if you want to actually implement RocksDB on top of key value, there's no easy way to do that. Actually, we have to cut out the major portion of RocksDB and plug in into the system using RocksDB. But in terms of the performance and efficiency, it's going to be improved significantly. Another model is to using the storage engine. MongoDB has abstraction for storage engine, so you can plug in different type of storage engine as long as it's compatible to their abstraction. So we did this kind of work with MongoDB, and we did some work for LevelDB actually to plug in the key value SSD into the system. And another way is to For example, Ceph, they have abstraction, much higher abstraction, like OSD. You can, as long as you provide OSD interface, you can plug in any storage engine into this system.
So some system, the point is that some system have already have abstraction for their system, so this new device can be easily plugged in. Some system does not have that kind of abstraction, so we may have to change a software quite a bit. But the good thing is there are many systems actually have that kind of abstraction, so we can plug in our library, the key-value access through library into existing system. So I briefly talk about what kind of software we need, right? So the software work, some of them we can, the Samsung can do, but actually many work like a storage engine or the application like cache or storage system, that is not our work. So we need to work with industry to enabling this technology. And we show some proof point through our own the development and study, and by providing the performance number and the benefit, yeah. So we can work with you guys. And regarding the standard, this is from this slide. I talk about standard. So we are working on the NVMe and the SNIA right now. And the NVMe case, we actually propose TPAR and the work the discussing with the community right now. And the SNIA, we define several API, and I use the term ADI in the previous slide, and define what kind of the operation we need to define. But the one thing I'd like to highlight is it's not about the object drive, and it's different from the object drive. It's about the key value interface, and I discussed about what is the difference between object and the key value in the previous slide. So from the command perspective, actually we introduced four new command, put, get, delete, exist, and we extend existing command to manage device efficiently. So let me skip this one. So basically, this is not closed discussion. So we open for any type of discussion regarding key value SSD. So if you, actually I had a lot of the feedback. Okay, can you add this? Can you add this? So you can actually join the participate this activity in the NVMe community or the SNIA community. You can actually show your interest and the reflect your need into the standard. So regarding the performance, so we did some experiment by building a real system. I'm going to quickly touch some data here. So basically, in the previous slide, I talk about, okay, what is the benefit of using key value SSD? From system perspective, it provides better scalability. It can scale up and scale out. And compared to the existing the key value store, it provides better performance. So to show that from the single node perspective, we compare RocksDB, because RocksDB is quite popular. You can say, well, is RocksDB the right one or not? That's debatable, but this is a very popular one. So we compare the performance of RocksDB on top of block device versus the key value SSD using our software stack. And RocksDB, again, the popular one from the Facebook. Basically, it's optimized for supporting write operation efficiently. So depending on the workload, you can say different thing, but we compare the write operation mostly. The reason is that read operation is heavily depending on the caching effect. So if you have a large cache, RocksDB cache, you read all the requests from the the DRAM, right? So it's very hard to compare and justify any number. So well, what is the better way? So we mostly focusing on the write operation, and there are two types, right? You can use the random operation and the sequential operation. For RoxDB case, if you do the sequential operation, basically it's overhead minimum. So, but the real world, sequential operation does not exist in the key value space. The most operation is random. So we're mostly focusing on the random operation here. So this is one, this graph basically, you can take as a one data point, it's actually not the strong claim, but the when you use the RoxDB, you have around 13 watt. What that means? In the RoxDB system, if you write one byte, the RoxDB actually write 13 byte to the disk. So existing the key value store of RoxDB or Viettel, the main problem of the system is they have very high write amplification and read amplification. Even though you do not write that much, actually system write a lot. So we can get the benefit of by using the key value SSD, but the reducing that kind of the overhead. I also mentioned about reducing the redundant part and the write amplification. Actually bad to SSD because you write more data than you need to do. Actually, device weight aged very quickly. So in terms of performance, WAP actually eat up your bandwidth. So you device provide a bandwidth, but you can use only a fraction of that bandwidth due to the WAP from the application perspective. So that is the actual performance benefit from and the reliability benefit from of using the key value SSD. And this is another the graph for scalability. When you add more devices, key value SSD case, actually by adding more, you can get more performance. But the RoxDB case, actually we try to saturate the device as much as we can by leveraging the older CPU power. But after some point, CPU is saturated. So this system has 48 cores, but it saturates very quickly after 6 devices. So to scale more, you have to put more cores into system, but this system costs around 5,000 per CPU, but we only use 18 actually for key value SSD. Key value SSD just use one core, but existing system actually use a lot of cores, so you can easily hit the CPU saturation. So that is the main benefit from the scale-up perspective. And we also configure system using the NVMe Fabric. So NVMe Fabric has very low latency, and you can actually easily disaggregate the system. And by configuring multiple system, you can actually get the similar performance benefit in to the scale up cases. So since I'm mostly running out of time, so I'm gonna stop here. So the main point of the experiment is that a traditional approach to provide a key value interface using host software basically eat up the CPU power a lot. Because of that, it's very hard to make system scalable. The key value case offloaded the core functionality from the host to device and collapsed software stack and remove redundant operation. By doing that, it can easily scale up by adding more devices in terms of performance and the capacity. So we show the benefit from scale up, scale out, and also from the single storage perspective. So again, I can discuss this more the offline or by email, but basically we did some the implementation and experiment, and there is great potential for this technology. So we want to work with you guys in the industry and also move forward together. So thank you very much. I'm happy to take the question. Yeah.
Thanks for listening. If you have questions about the material presented in this podcast, be sure and join our developers mailing list by sending an email to developers-subscribe@snea.org. Here you can ask questions and discuss this topic further with your peers in the storage developer community. For additional information about the Storage Developer Conference, visit www.storagedeveloper.org.